So yeah, my blogging experience, it's totally different like compared to you, because the first blog I started, there was just one post, and the second blog started because I was working and it was pretty monotonous. An HR job is like pretty monotonous, and yeah, going through a breakup, you know, at that time, and I had to like get out, get the all the feelings out. So that's when the WordPress blog came out, and yeah, it was basically a place where I can rant. All writers would be able to relate to this. We all have this first blog, which would be there somewhere on the internet, and you would be pretty reluctant to share it with others, don't we?
Yeah, it'll have all your old embarrassing posts that you have posted many, many years back. I remember my first blog was a WordPress blog. In fact, the way I named it was very funny because, you know, we play guitar. I play a little bit. You play much better than me. So we use something called a pick to play guitar, and actually it is
Plectrum.
called plectrum, right? I got the spelling of plectrum wrong, and I called it plectrum.wordpress.com. So that was my first blog.
Okay, actually, I thought you didn't write plectrum because
I think it was already
it
taken
was
also.
already
Yeah,
taken.
I later checked it when I realized my mistake, but it was already taken. So that was my first blog. I don't remember what I posted there first, but I think the blog is still online.
You can check it out.
Please don't check it out.
You shouldn't. Yeah. Okay, I have this one question for you. You know how many blog posts I put on my first ever blog?
Five.
No.
50.
No, just one. I was inspired to blog because of you, and I started this blog named Bass and Orange.
Bass
Can you
and
relate to
Orange.
it?
I think bass because you're a bassist, and
Yeah.
Orange because your amplifier was an
Yes.
Orange amp.
And I put one orange header and all that. And I wrote one post. I don't even remember what it was about. And then I forgot the password, everything. I stopped writing.
Was
And
it on WordPress?
yeah, it was on WordPress.
So that should still be online, isn't it?
No, I went back like few years later and deleted it.
Deleted it.
But I do have another embarrassing WordPress blog called Shankar Padmanabhan.
I think that is where you actually started writing seriously. I think
Yes.
you put maybe what 10 blog
Yes,
posts there.
I not 10 more, like around like 20, but I have migrated a few of them to my portfolio right now, the medium one.
Yeah.
So Rambling Joint. So yeah, it was my first proper blog. I was very serious about it, but the thing was, now when I go back and look at it, I'm like, oh my God, these things are so embarrassing.
See, that is how we progress. And in fact, Sean McCabe says one thing about, you know, putting out your work. So initially, when we start, whether it be writing or lettering or drawing or something, we start sharing it online, right? Many years later, as we get better, when we go back and check these things, they might look embarrassing. But he says just leave them there, because that actually chronicles how you came. I mean, that actually shows the shows how, you know, how you progress and how better you have become compared to what you were many years back.
That's very true. That's very true. Because whenever I feel bad about like why am I a writer and it's not working out or something, if I have some kind of thought like that, I just go back to that blog and read the first post, like a few posts. Then I'll realize, okay, I've come so far. It's not that bad now. So
Yes.
yeah, but that makes me think, like we do have a portfolio right now, right? The main blog on which we write.
Yes.
So probably like maybe a f 5 years or like 6 years later, what will happen, like when we like come back and look at the old post, will we be embarrassed about that too?
I think there is no need to be embarrassed, because whatever we write, whatever we have written, it was all the thoughts that came at that moment. So I look at my old blog post as a kind of a journal, which
Relic.
kind of lets me know what I was thinking at that moment. Because when I was in school, I remember I used to write journals. You know, I used to keep a diary I used to write it religiously every day. But initially, it was like one page, 2 pages long. But later on, I got a little lazy and I used to just write everything in shorthand. But I used to maintain it. I maintained it for almost 3 years.
Wow.
Post which I got tired of it and we were in the middle of moving to Delhi at that time. I burnt everything away. I don't know why I did that, but...
Probably I talk for some other time.
Probably. So that is where my writing interest started. But that was not writing as such. It was just journaling.
More of a rant kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
like
so
talking about
I think I started my... It was not a public blog. I think it was more of a... Google had a service called Blogspot.
Yeah.
So I started a blog on Blogspot, just kind of a journal. I don't think it was public also, just writing things and all that stuff. It didn't last long because I got tired of it. That is after that is when I started WordPress blog. In fact, one of the small inspiration for this was, you remember the movie Social Network?
Yeah.
You know what he does in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So everything that he does, he is kind of parallelly blogging along with that. So that was my thing. I thought I'll blog about things that I'm doing on a daily basis in terms of, you know, learning programming and all that stuff. But later I was interested in writing like maybe small stories or my experiences and the things that I'm reading or whatnot. So that is when I started this WordPress blog. It lasted for a few years, actually. In fact, I think I started it in 2011. I started it in 2011. It went on till 2014 or 15. 14, I guess, or 13, where I migrated it to another domain, the neelemento@wordpress.com, which was my first blog called Neelemento. From where I migrated it to a known domain, which is hosted now.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was... I used WordPress because it's like very easy to use at that point. There was no Medium. So that is where I started blogging. I used to post, you know, it was not regular, once in, you know, maybe a couple of weeks or once in a month or something like that. But I had that interest to posting. My friends, in fact, I had started a series of stories which was inspired from my college experiences. My friends used to give me regular feedback. They were very impressed by the storyline. They used to encourage me, write comments and all that stuff.
You should have continued probably.
Yeah, but that motivation, I don't know, somehow didn't last. I have tried to revive it many times. You know, it never happened. Maybe someday, I don't know. After all this, when I think in 2015 is when I started my current blog, in which I post many different stuff. That is... not on WordPress. That is a little more technical. I use Jekyll for that. The same platform we use our podcast website.
You can explain it to them if you want, but I'll definitely not. And yeah,
I can explain it. It is more like a CMS which uses Markdown syntax. So you have to create Markdown files and you know, put it into a folder, and it kind of generates a static website. There is no database involved. That is the difference between WordPress and this one.
Okay.
So WordPress has a database which makes it a little more bloated and slow. This is more faster than that.
Okay.
And I have another blog, vishnupadmanabhan.com, which is my main domain, where I post mostly technical stuff, which is like coding stuff and all that. Okay. It both the blogs have not been updated in a long while because
you're not a writer, so
I'm not a writer.
It's okay for you to like take a step back
again.
But
again,
not,
that is when we started podcasting. But I think podcasting and writing, they go hand in hand.
Same, because we mostly talk about like the topics which comes from my side. It's mostly about the things I write about.
Yeah.
So yeah, my blogging experience, it's totally different, like compared to you, because the first blog I started, there was just one post, and the second blog started because I was working and it was pretty monotonous. An HR job is like pretty monotonous, and yeah, going through a breakup, you know, at that time, and I had to like get out, get the all the feelings out. So that's when the WordPress blog came out, and yeah, it was basically a place where I can rant. And I remember posting like once every 2 days. Or once every 3 days. It went on for like a few months. Then suddenly I just lost interest and I stopped. And it was probably a year later I started Rambling Giant, which is my portfolio now. So I post regularly every Mondays and Fridays. You can just go check it out. So that's my story.
I think this is the blog where you got really serious and you're, you know, maybe doing it in a more professional way.
Yeah.
Having a schedule, posting it, posting regularly. Because blog is like a beast, right? You can feed it how much ever you want.
Yeah.
There's no set limit on how many posts you can post. Because I have seen blogs where people... If you go to Seth Godin's blog, he posts every day.
Wow.
There are other bloggers like Leo Babauta, one of my favorite bloggers who maintains Zen Habits, which is one of the most popular blogs on the internet. He's not a daily blogger. He blogs once in a week kind of thing. But he has over 2 million followers.
Wow.
And one of my other favorite bloggers is Mark Manson. His posts are a little, you know, out there on, in your face, but, you know, I like the way he writes.
Yeah, the thing when it comes to, like, posting daily, it just gets you saturated. And even your readers will be, like, every day you get, the person is throwing content on you. And, yeah, even they'll get saturated. So, that's why I was, like, I had an irregular schedule at first. But then I thought, you know, it'll be better if I schedule it and do it. Because it'll be easy for me to, like, make time and spare time to write whatever I want for the blog. And, yeah, when it comes to this part, professionalism, you said professional, right? My current blog looks more professional. It's because when I was writing on my WordPress blog, I never used any tools which were available online for us to write better. But over time, I came to know that there are like multiple tools which you can use to like perfect your writing, like better your writing and express it better and even format what you're writing in a better way. Also, yeah, so that's where it all started. And the first tool I started using was Grammarly.
Mm-hmm.
I think even you use it.
I think Grammarly is a must-have on your browser because it is not just a editor which corrects your grammar and all those mistakes. If you're using any websites, even if you're using Twitter or Facebook, if you're writing something...
If you're writing an email, framing an email.
If you're writing a post on Facebook also, if you have the Chrome extension installed, it will actually validate your writing. So that is a really, really helpful app to use Grammarly.
Yeah, they have a premium version which also lets you clear all the advanced issues and like check plagiarism and like it has options like different writing styles. You can choose it and write accordingly. So Grammarly is an app which I use on a daily basis. Doesn't matter where I'm writing. But yeah, it has a downside which is you don't have an extension for mobiles or like phone
correct.
Devices and tablets. But yeah, when you're using a PC or a laptop to write, it's a must have. Because I have not opted for the premium version. Of course, I'm an Indian, so I have to go accordingly. And so to get the functions which Grammarly lacks, I use Hemingway app and small tools plagiarism site.
Like, so even before I came across Grammarly, I used to use Hemingway to write. My earlier blog post back from 2011 and 12, I don't think I used to do too much of editing. Like, I used to just paste them into a Word document or a Google document. So that used to correct most of the spelling mistakes and grammar for me.
Word. Yeah.
So that I used to post it after that. But then after a while, I found this app called Hemingway. I found this site called Hemingway. Wherein it even tells you how complex your sentences are.
It grades your writing.
It grades your writing and it actually forces you to take out a lot of unwanted stuff from your writing.
Complicated words.
Yeah, you'll just end up with just what is required.
Yeah.
Maybe, see, it's not always that you need to cut short your sentence. Sometimes being expressive requires you to write, you know, a little more elaborately. So I don't necessarily use it for that purpose. I use it mostly for, correcting the grammar and probably the mistaken words and stuff like that.
Yeah, I basically use it to get to know what grade my writing is.
Yeah.
Because I like to write on a like in between like 4th to 6th grade, you know, that grade. I don't want to go over that or like come under that. But sometimes it comes under that because I write like very simple, in very simple language. Sometimes that happens too. But like 4th to 6th is like something which I found pretty good when it comes to the grading. And it also like one of the main uses for this thing is like finding the adjectives, adverbs, everything. So it actually helps me a lot when it compared to Grammarly. I don't want to pay the premium, so I use this thing. And
And I think Hemingway also has a standalone app, which is comes for around $19, I think, right? Yeah, it's not necessary to purchase it to get the unlock the complete features. If you use the web version, you'll have everything. Just in case you feel like you want to work offline, then you can get the app as well.
Yeah, standalone apps are okay, but Grammarly Premium, the issue is it's like a subscription basis thing, right? And if you're going for the discounted rates, it'll come around like $60 or something. Not 60, $130 per year.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you have to pay $11 every month, which is not feasible for me. Anyway, getting back to the tools, there is something called small SEO tools.
Mm-hmm.
They have like everything from grammar checking, spell check, everything. And one of the tools they have integrated is plagiarism tester. Plagiarism checker. So that comes into use very much because when I'm sending a file to my client or something, there shouldn't be any plagiarism involved.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you have not copied.
Yeah.
Even when you are writing everything from your head, sometimes it happens because something just matches and you'll it'll pop up on the screen like you have plagiarized this thing and all that. So I don't want that to happen. So I use this small SEO tools, plagiarism checker.
So that might even be helpful in case you're writing copy for websites. There are certain people who write copy for websites, right? Yeah, the content for websites.
Yeah, yeah.
So Google penalizes plagiarized content. So if your website has content that is already there in some other website and you put it online, your ranking on search results might take a hit because Google actually penalizes you for the plagiarized content.
It also comes into use for people who are into academic writing and they are in schools or colleges and want to do a lot of academic writing. So plagiarism is not tolerated there. So you can use this website to check plagiarism and clear everything out. So So whenever I'm not close to my the laptop or like PC, I use the iPad to write, frame the article or whatever. So and to transfer it to your computer, it's kind of difficult if you don't have Microsoft OneDrive. And it actually provides a great service because you don't have to store it in your computer. It stores in your cloud and you it'll be like smaller size, so you don't have to worry about it. So whenever I'm working remotely or something, I just use my iPad and write the article and use Microsoft OneDrive to like save the files. So that's another tool which comes very much in handy if you want to like store your files and everything online. You can use Google Drive too, but the thing is it's not integrated with Microsoft Word.
Right.
Because it's because OneDrive is integrated with Word, you can easily just transfer your files with this few clicks.
This is especially when you're not using a Mac.
Yeah. So the next thing, next tool I use is Celtix. It's a website and you have an app too for your mobile and tablet device. If you're into script writing, this is a must-have tool.
Mm-hmm.
I know most people use Final Draft, which is another website or software which helps you like write scripts. But I got into script writing using Celtix. Because of that, I know most of the functions which it gives. So it is one of the apps I used to like script writing because currently I used to get projects regarding commercials and all that. For that, you cannot frame the content like an article.
Mm-hmm.
You have to format it properly. And Celtix, it allows you to frame it properly. You get the proper format like the scene thing, then action, then you have characters. And the conversation which happens, everything you can format it accordingly with just a click of the tab button.
Right.
So that's another tool I use whenever I'm script writing.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there are so many free tools available online if you are thinking about maybe just writing for hobby or even thinking about making writing a profession as well. So even if you're thinking about professionally writing, the one thing that you need is a portfolio of yourself where you just write articles and put it out for people to read around. Because this is not a profession where you can just claim that you have writing experience. And if you have a personal blog, that is all the better.
Yeah. So the next, it's next thing I use, it's not a tool, it's actually a website to get stock images.
Mm-hmm.
There are like many websites where you can get stock images for free, royalty-free images. But Pixabay is the one I use the most.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can find all kinds of images which you search for.
Just that, just because you mentioned royalty-free images, now there's a bit of a confusion there. Royalty-free images does not always mean that it is free for us to use. There are certain websites like Shutterstock, which also provides royalty-free images. The only thing is, for it to become royalty-free, you have to pay them a fee, right? So what Pixabay and Pexels are providing are actually Creative Commons images, which do not have any copyright as such.
Okay.
So, yes, they're royalty free for free. I mean, you don't have to pay anything, for using them. They are you know, they have a Creative Commons license which allows you to use it, modify it for commercial purpose and everything as such. But there are sites like Shutterstock, they provide royalty-free images only when you pay the royalty to them.
Okay.
The moment you pay the royalty to them, you're free to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay, so, like
yeah. that. So that's the difference.
So yeah, I use Pixabay to get free images, Creative Commons images. What is that?
Yeah, you can just say that's free images which can be used for commercial purpose as well.
Yeah, even Pexels is there, but I started using Pixabay first, so I have this soft corner
for
that website.
Yeah, the first one I actually used and one which became a little popular was a website called Unsplash.
Unsplash
is the one which I use for the first time. I discovered Pixabay later. Even I use Pixabay more than any other websites because I think they have little more collection than both.
And it's easy to download. You don't have to sign up. There is no sign up and all that there. And one thing I found was that Pixabay and Pexels almost have the same.
Even Unsplash images, they all share images as such.
So but the issue is when you get a free image, it might not be like
exactly matching the kind of content that you write.
Yeah, it might not be matching the content you are writing.
Yeah.
So you have to, and even the resolution, you won't get the right resolution which you are looking for. So to convert it into the right resolution, the tool I use is Canva. Which when you are the one who introduced me to Canva, but when I started at first, I was like, you know, what is the use of this thing? I was not able to understand. But over time, I've been using it for everything.
Yeah.
It's not just the blog post image. It's also for Instagram posting, Twitter, header for Facebook, everything I use Canva.
Right.
It's one of the best, image manipulation tool. Picture manipulation tool, if you say so. Yeah. So that's one tool I use a lot. I think even you might have something to say about Canva.
Yeah, Canva. I started using Canva for my blog images and, to post on social media. It actually makes the process of designing very easy.
Yeah.
If you're not an expert in maybe tools like Photoshop, Inkscape and Illustrator and stuff like that, Canva is the tool for you. And most of the things are free, unless you are picking up some of the paid or licensed items, you can create your graphics for free really easily. And it looks really professional once you create the graphics also. So Canva is an awesome tool. But what I use for resizing and, cropping my images and maybe doing a little bit of color manipulation is a site called Pixlr. Pixlr Express. So what I do is especially for our podcast website, if you look at the image that we use, the featured image that we use, it's, 250 by 250. So I download from Pixabay or wherever it is, or if we create a image, I take it to Pixlr and then resize it and do whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You can also reduce the image size to a bit by selecting the quality. And then I run it through something called JPEG compressor and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Canva, The difference between Pixlr and Canva is Pixlr lets you only manipulate the existing image, whereas Canva is letting you create new designs.
You can edit,
and, yeah,
create
design without even knowing much of an Illustrator tools. It lets you create really professional looking graphics.
You can check out my blog to like get to know more about it. Yeah.
And just going back a minute to our stock images part, apart from these websites, there are other places where you can find Google and Yahoo search. They have these advanced search which lets you select Creative Commons images, which can be, if you are using it for commercial purpose, you can select that as well. So when you select that, you can find such images in those websites as well.
Yeah,
I'm
too lazy to do that, I think. Yeah. One issue which came into my mind when I was using Canva was that you can create logos, but you have to pay the premium to get it done.
Yes.
So which put me in kind of a predicament, and I came out with this software called Inkscape, which again you introduced me to it. So there are like, you know, sometimes when you get an image, it has a background which is not needed.
Right.
You might just need the object which is there in that image, and you just don't want to have any other things, or like a logo, you want it. So what I do is I use Inkscape to remove all the, you know, white spaces of in the background or any other things, and get only the thing which I require. So it becomes easier for me to manipulate in Canva, like put just the object there, and I can change the background without worrying about the white space or like whatever background it has. So Inkscape is something I've been using for probably a month now, and it's very powerful.
Yes.
When I think about it, and I don't even know like 5% of how to use it, but still I've been able to do a lot of things with it. So
yeah, Inkscape is a open source free version of Adobe Illustrator, actually.
Yeah.
It might not be as sophisticated as Illustrator, but I think even professionals can use Inkscape for their work. There's actually a YouTube channel by a guy called Nick Saprito.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is an expert in Inkscape. I looked at his tutorials and I learned some stuff for my blog last year. Some of my blog banners are, you know, images created using
Same Inkscape. Here. I learned the beginner lessons, everything from his YouTube channel only.
Yeah.
So it's something I've been using a lot these days. And I think when you compare it to Adobe Illustrator, I think it's like, you know, Mac and then you have Linux. Probably like that. Yeah. So these are the tools I use.
Yeah, these are mostly the tools that we use. I use, as I mentioned earlier, there's a site called Compress JPEG to compress all these images.
Hmm.
So as to reduce the, you know, bandwidth when image size, so that, you know, it loads faster on your mobile devices as well. Apart from this, for image hosting, I use a site called Cloudinary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Cloudinary gives you, I think it's around 5 GB of free storage.
Hmm.
So you upload your image there and you just, you know, link it on your blog. So basically you're saving bandwidth to your own servers. Cloudinary takes all the traffic.
Yeah, I have a question. So Cloudinary, you can use it for WordPress too, right?
You can use for WordPress because WordPress has a limiter of around 2 GB for images, I suppose. So what are you going to do once you're exhausting the quota? So you start creating account in these kind of sites.
Which brings me to another question, which is, so how does it work in Medium? You don't have to upload anything, right?
Medium, you're hosting on their own servers,
yeah,
right?
So you don't have to...
They don't have a limit also on how many images you can upload.
Wow.
So yeah, Medium, awesome. The biggest advantage of Medium over WordPress, as far as I see, is... they've really perfected the design element. The way if you look at the fonts that they use and the way they've designed the entire layout, it's all...
Especially
really
the latest update has come up with some of the great...
WordPress has flexibility, but if you're hosting on WordPress.com, you cannot modify many of the design aspects.
Okay.
It's very restricted. But if you're self-hosting WordPress on your own domain and server, then you can customize WordPress to look even better than Medium.
Yeah, but the thing is... if you are just a writer who doesn't know any like the backend stuff and like designing stuff, it'll be tough for you to use WordPress.
In that, it's not really tough. It is But it is much more, you know, easier to use Medium.
Yeah, it's complicated, not tough. Yeah. So that's one reason I wanted to, I preferred using Medium.
Yeah, there is another CMS which is very much similar to Medium. It's called Ghost.
Okay.
Which is a competitor to WordPress, in fact.
Oh.
So Ghost is another CMS, but you need to have your own server and you need to have a paid version for
okay,
that.
Okay, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's not free at all. Hmm. The advantage, another advantage of Medium is that you can actually map your own domain to Medium and create a kind of your own website kind of a thing, which is not possible in WordPress.com unless you have WordPress downloaded and hosted on your own server.
So there is no like publication kind of thing?
You have, but there. For that you have to pay around, I think, $18 to $20 a year.
A year, wow, yeah. Okay. I'd rather prefer
Depends
Medium.
On different plans as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another thing that I recently found, creating these audiograms for podcasts, which is like a small preview into what your podcast is going to be. And it has this fancy wave kind of things and all
coming
out. Yeah,
it actually looks very good.
Yeah, it looks really nice and professional, right? So there are a couple of sites. There's one site called Get Audiogram, which is like a premium thing. You need to pay for the credits and stuff. And there is another site which we'll link in our show notes. This creates little clips, video clips with your audio of your podcast. Advantage is that mostly on all the social medias, videos get much more visibility than, you know, anything else. Even
written
text.
Stuff.
Yeah, so it's better to share a clip of your podcast and then give a link to your entire podcast, which will give it more visibility as well.
Yeah,
so I think that is pretty much, you know, about the writing tools that we use. And
I've covered almost all the tools I use.
So, if you feel like writing, for me, it is just a hobby. Whatever comes into my mind, I like to maintain a blog and just post it. But for you, it is more of a profession where you are maintaining your blog as your portfolio. So, for our listeners, if you are interested in just writing stuff, just for the sake of it and you like writing, you can go for it. But if you're looking at professionally becoming a writer, it's better to have a real good portfolio of your own. A blog where you post stuff and just use it as your resume.
Yeah, so it's basically worth checking out these tools because it'll only help you. I'm pretty sure. I can guarantee you that. Yeah.
So hopefully this episode was helpful in terms of getting you to start writing.